Hang on this morning?
Oh, that's awesome, Patsy. Thank you. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Yep. There you go.
The Lord called Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. God called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, you call me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Am you call me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you call me." And Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. Told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, the Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times. "Well, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
I really hope that you guys appreciate what's happening to me lately. It's quite unusual that I actually come with stuff actually written down. And so it's a little bit scary because I'm not used to this. And so I sometimes flick back and forward, but I have got some stuff written down and I do want to share with you. But I also want to make sure that in doing this, I don't stop sharing from the heart. I want to just share with you some stuff that when Ron spoke last week and he spoke on a part of it was commenting on the fact that we need to listen and that we need to not only listen to God because that's part of that vertical relationship, but we need to listen to other people because that's part of building relationships with other people. And I just couldn't get that out of my mind, and it began to take me back to when I became a counselor. Well, I suppose becoming a counselor was never, a little instant. It was actually a lifetime of just being interested in working with people and doing courses. And I was saying to somebody the other day, they were asking me about my counseling and said, so what course did you do? Well, I said, well, there's probably about 6 or 7 different courses that I did over a period of time. And all of them were slightly different approaches and all of them, had slightly different emphasis. But they were, I use a whole range of them to work with different people. And I think that's great because there's a myriad of different people out there and different approaches are going to work for different people. But one thing that was definitely in common with all of them, one thing that was hugely in common with all of them was the aspect that a counselor is not what many people consider them to be, and that is an advice giver. So many people come to a counselor, and I can remember very clearly as a youth pastor sitting in my office one day and having a parent come to me, and they knocked on the door, and I asked them in, and they came and they sat down and they said, "Tell me what to do with my teenager." And I sort of immediately said, "Well, tell me what you've been doing. Tell me what you've been doing. Because that's what I'm more interested in. What's been happening? What's been going on? Rather than me giving you all the information, I need to listen because then I can understand. Then I can grasp what's going on." And so for me, it has always been, and every course that I have done has been about the fact that if you are going to be a good counselor, you need to be a great listener. And many people then go, "Well, that's all right because you're a good listener. You've obviously got that skill, that gift. It's a gifting." Well, I've actually found out since that it's a skill, And it's a choice. And it's a choice we need to think about. Just the same as it is a choice for us to listen to God and to develop our relationship with Him. That is our choice. That is our choice whether we're going to go ahead and do that. As it is our choice whether we are going to learn how and push ourselves to actually listen to people and listen fully. So what I want to do this morning is just explore a little bit, and I've spread my bits of paper out across here because I'm sort of just going to, this is where we're headed, okay? But I'm sure it will flow because God's always really good at that. What I did want to do is, first of all, give you a little bit that I found out yesterday as I was doing a bit of research that listening is not just a Christian thing. And I often have to wonder when the world gets so interested in something, it's interesting that they do pick up on some of these things that God says so much about. I don't know if you've ever wondered, God has, you know, if you type in the word listen or listening into Google or somewhere or into your Bible app and ask for all the, there's a whole lot of references to listening. And a whole lot of times when Jesus, before he said something, he said, listen. Listen. Listen and have an ear to hear because I've got something important to say. So first of all, we need to understand that it's between us and God. That is, for us as Christians, the most important aspect of listening and developing in the habit of being able to listen to God. And we are called to do that. Jesus called the crowd in Matthew 15:10. He called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. And in Matthew 17:5, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Now, we've already heard from Sue's children's talk, and I know you guys listen to the children's talks. I know you do, because I watch you when Sue and Ron are up here and they're doing their children's talks, and you're all there going, what are they doing? What are they doing? Children's talks are always so exciting. Sorry, a microphone just fell on my foot. You are, so I know you listen. And this is an important, a microphone just fell on my foot. I'm sorry. Distractions come. But we have two ears and one mouth. And I think we actually, in our prayer life and in our life with God, we can actually get into the habit of, I'm going to spend a bit of time with God. I'm going to tell him what I think, and I'm going to ask him all the things I need to ask him. And when we finish talking, we go, amen, see you later. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Why haven't you done this? Why is this going on? What's going on, God? Teach me, teach me. Sorry, I've got to go now. And how often that happens? How often that happens? Do you know that in counseling, and I'll keep bringing this back because this is an area that when I listen to it, it gets me so excited, counseling with people and working with people. It's awesome. But with God, it just all sort of matches up. In counseling, they actually say, within an hour, how much time in a counseling session do you think a counselor should spend speaking? Within a 60-minute period. And I'm not going to ask that question because that's always terrible when you ask a rhetoric question. You've got a specific answer in mind and people are sitting there going, what's the answer? I sort of have a thing in mind. No, the answer is some people say 10 minutes and some people say even less than that is how much time a counselor should actually spend speaking within a session. And I began to think about that and I began to think, how much time do we spend telling God, talking to God, telling him all about things, asking him questions? How much time do we actually spend in our prayer time listening? How much time do we spend listening? A vitally important part for us to learn and grow and understand and develop in our relationship with God is listening. Now, whether that be reading the word and then just meditating on it and just waiting on the Lord, whether it be as we are sitting and just quietly waiting, a verse comes to my mind, so I read it and then I wait again, you know, however it happens for you, are we listening? We recognize that we actually have a great example of this, and that is Jesus himself. You know, one very simple example was when he was young, Luke 2:46, and he was missing. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, what? Listening. Listening to them and asking questions. But the key thing is he was listening. And he was asking questions, and he gives us a good role model there, and we'll come back to that. But Jesus was a listener. He spent time with his Father. There were many times, and when you read through Luke especially, there are many times where it talks about he withdrew, and I think Ron made mention of this. He withdrew, and we saw it in his children's talk last week. Jesus withdrew to a lonely place, to a quiet place, and spent time. And sometimes it was all night. When was the last time you had an all-nighter with God? And I know for many of us, we start to begin to think, and we do make excuses. We say how busy we are. We say how tired we have gotten. I got to tell you, some of the best times I have had and some of the times when I have heard most from God, and I remember one distinct particular time where we had talked about up in Batlow when I was pastoring up there, and we'd talked about the fact that there was a light on in the church. And ever since I got there, they had left that light on because they wanted the light to be on all night. And I thought, well, if that light's on all night, maybe I should be there all night. So I went up and I sat in the church all night, and I just began to ask the Lord and just seek him, and I just waited and waited and waited. And he gave me one of the most profound messages I've ever received that night. I was tired as anything before that started, and that was one of the last things I wanted, because we had just had a week of pastoring and doing the things that we were doing and interacting and events and stuff like that. But it was that week that the Lord felt like he really laid it on my heart. I felt like the Lord laid it on my heart, and so I did it, and it was one of the best nights, even though I was tired as. We've got to stop making the excuses. We've got to start getting real in our relationship, that vertical relationship, because we are excited, and I believe it's a great thing. We are very excited about the people we are praying for. We are very excited about what God is doing, and I think that is awesome. That is an awesome thing, but the more he is doing out there, I believe the more he wants to do in here, because he needs us to be his harvesters. He needs us to be his servants. He wants us to be in this with him. He cannot do it on his own, because when people turn to him, where are they going to come? They're going to come here, and they're going to begin to talk to us, and they're going to begin to seek from us, and they're going to begin to ask us, and they're going to begin to want to relate to us. We need to be ready. We need to be ready. And the best way we can be ready is building that relationship. Listening to the Lord. Okay. It was fascinating to read some non-Christian stuff and to focus and look now more specifically at listening as a specific. And I typed in, I couldn't remember why, but I just typed in the art of listening, because something in my mind twigged to that phrase. So I typed in the art of listening. And what came up was the lost art of listening. And I thought, that looks interesting. So I clicked on it. And up came this PDF from a group called the, now I'm probably going to get this wrong, but it's okay, the Dylan Schneider Group. And you might think, whoa, that is... Well, a guy by the name of Robert L. Diller Schneider formed the Dylan Schneider Group in October 1991. And this is actually a group that is the headquarters, it has its headquarters in New York and Chicago. And it's a firm that provides strategic advice and counsel to Fortune 500 companies. and leading families and individuals around the world with experience in fields ranging from mergers and acquisitions and crisis communications to marketing, government affairs and international media. They actually provide counsel and support to some of the wealthiest, most influential people in the world. And I thought, this is interesting. I wonder what they say about listening. Can I read a little bit to you? Because I found it really exciting and quite fascinating. That's good. Nobody said no. So that's all right. I'll keep going. We all do it, and most of us do it badly. We listen, but we often don't hear. How many times have our children or our spouses complained, "You don't listen to me"? How many times has a friend or family member told us something important that we can't remember hearing later? How many times have we sat in a meeting and realized we weren't absorbing anything of substance that was being said? How many times have we sat across from an employee or a boss and heard what we wanted to hear, not what was actually being said? Whew, that one's a good one, isn't it? How many times have we engaged in a dispute with an adversary and instead of listening to what was being said, we were too busy thinking about the arguments we wanted to make? And how many times have we failed to listen because we were just too busy talking? I just found all those questions and that kind of stuff brilliant. And then they went on with just a brief five-page thing. If you want to grab it, grab it. It's fabulous. But I'm just going to grab a couple of quick little excerpts because I found it really fascinating. And then I'm just going to incorporate it because it's the kind of thing I wanted to say anyway. People are talking more than listening. The problem is pervasive in modern society. Many of us don't listen because we're too busy talking. No view is as enlightened and informed as my view. We don't even bother to consider what others have to say. And this is my little bit, but I typed it out because I typed it out in red. Okay. I wonder sometimes whether the assertiveness movement has something to do with this these days. But in general, we should be able to see that it has a lot to do with selfishness. The assertiveness movement says you have an opinion and you need to be able to stand by your opinion. You need to be able to uphold it. Don't be put down. You have a right to have a say. The problem is that moves very quickly into pride and to being proud. I have something to say and I will say it and it is right. And what that actually does is that can stop us from listening. Because we are being so assertive about getting our viewpoint across, getting our point of view across, getting our story across, that we actually stop listening to other people's stories and to their points of view. We stop listening to their life experience. Because sometimes we think ours is just as or more important than theirs. And I found this very interesting. They said, the art of listening is just that, an art form that takes practice to perfect. Mastering it costs nothing, but it can change your life and the life of the person being listened to for the better. This isn't a Christian group talking here. This is people who have some wisdom out there, and what it actually did remind me, back to my counseling course again, it was a very eclectic kind of counseling course that grabbed a whole lot, and they even said in that we need to grab sometimes from the world the best wisdom and truth that they have and run it through the Word of God and see where it takes us. Because truth can be revealed to anybody. Truth can be revealed to anybody, but it needs to be understood by people who know God and know His Word. Get me right in that. Listen, I'm not saying everybody can develop truth. I'm saying truth can be revealed to anybody. It was actually revealed to a donkey. So if it can be revealed to a donkey by God, it can be revealed to anybody. We need to have ears that are listening around and grabbing what God reveals, whether He reveals it to us or to somebody else, and saying, I'm going to run that through Scripture. What is God teaching me? But it is so true that selfishness, when we just begin to be focused on self, everything about self, and I actually believe, I can remember thinking one day many years ago in Bible college and thinking, what is sin? Well, sin is simply selfishness. Guide me on a sin that's not selfishness in one form or another from its core. There is none. They are all selfish. It's all selfishness. It all does something for us to make us feel better, to make us okay. And so we've got to look at these things from a selfishness point of view. Listening is a selflessness. Listen says, you are so important, I want to hear from you. You are so important, I want to glean. You have such a great story, I want to learn from it. I want to learn from what's going on in your life. Both within the church and to people outside the church, we need to have an attitude that looks at each other and says, I want to listen because you are unique. And I want to learn about you. And I want to encourage you. And I want to build you up. It was quite interesting. I found another illustration. And it simply went like this. Teenage prostitutes during interviews in a San Francisco study were asked this. Is there anything you needed most and couldn't get? Their response, invariably preceded by sadness and tears, was unanimous. What I needed most was somebody to listen to me. Someone who cared enough to listen to me. And I believe there's a world of people out there who are just crying out to be listened to. I believe they want people who aren't going to look at them and judge them, who aren't going to look at them and preempt, who aren't going to look at them and say, well, I've got a better story than you, who are simply going to look and say, I just want to hear your story. I want to hear where it's at for you. And if in the 10 minutes out of the 60 that we talk together, I get an opportunity to love you and to express that love and to express that concern and maybe to pray with you, then I'll take that 10 minutes. But I want to spend 50 listening. And I want to get to know you. Because there are people out there who are just crying out to just have somebody seriously, seriously listen. And that brings me to another one. Okay. A writer by the name of Charles Swindoll. He's a Christian writer. And he once found himself with too many commitments in too few days. That sounds like most of us in many ways. He got nervous and tense about it. I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down my food at mealtimes and feeling irritated and those unexpected interruptions through the day. He recalled in his book Stress Fractures, he said this, before long, things around our house started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable. I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. She began hurriedly, Daddy, Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast. Suddenly I realized her frustration. I answered, Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Feel free to say it slowly. You know what the daughter answered? She said, well, then make sure you listen slowly. That just broke my heart. And I just think sometimes, and I know I'm as at fault as anybody. I get busy with my life. I get busy with ministry. I get busy with church stuff. I get busy because I've got to go somewhere. I'll be walking down the street and I'll see somebody and I'll feel a prompting and they'll actually even say g'day. And I'll sort of look at them and I'll say, yeah, g'day, how's it going? It's really great. I'll catch up sometime. You ever had that? You ever felt that? You ever felt what it's like to be on the other side of that? I know I have, but I also know that I've been the person that's done it. And I've got to tell you, when I go home or when I get in the car and I sit there and I say, why did I do that? What is so important that I can't stop and listen to this person? What is so important that people aren't so important? Our programs, the things that we do, become so important that we just don't listen slowly. It has to fit into our schedule. Most people, when they want us to listen, are obviously not telling us something because they want our advice or our counsel. They're generally telling us something because they are often looking for validation of who they are. Being listened to is reaffirming and comforting. Being listened to is reaffirming and comforting. And it says, no matter what my experience, no matter what I've been through, no matter who I am or where I am, I am worthwhile. I am valuable. I am worth this person's time. Some practicalities. Once again, coming from a counseling course, there were some key things, and I had them here. Where have they gone? That's a little bit like that guy who was preaching about Adam and Eve, and he had all his papers out and left them there because he did it all via this, and he actually got up to preach. He'd put them there beforehand, and he got up to preach, and he got to that certain point, and he said, and Adam said to Eve, there's a leaf missing. Anyway, well, it's just what I feel like right now, though. It is, because I'm sure I typed it out this morning. It's not there. What have I done? Okay. It is important. There are some very important things with listening, and I'll see how I go with this from my head. Let's go this way. There are some levels and there it is, right there. It's right there. Found it. Listening. We used to call it what was called active listening. Active listening in counseling. Active listening means you are actively participating. Listening is not something that is sedentary. It's actually active. And some of the key ingredients for active listening are these: attending, which means the way in which you listen, you actually are attending to what they're saying. You are taking it in. Respecting. You are respecting what they're saying. You are not sitting there as judge. You are not sitting there sorting it all out. You are simply respecting what they are saying. And then on top of that, you are empathizing. So you are attending. You are there in the presence. Your mind isn't somewhere else. You are respecting. You are accepting what they are saying. You know, I can always remember one of the greatest things they said to me was never go, when somebody says something. And I've seen people do that. And I sort of think, well, there goes any credibility. You're not listening. You're just judging. And I can tell you now, though, when some people tell you some stuff, and I've heard some stuff, and you just have to sit there and go, yeah. Tell me some more. Attending, respecting, empathizing. And if you can do these three things when you are listening, you are conveying non-judgmental acceptance along with unconditional love, which is what we are to convey to people, isn't it? We, by Christ, are shown unconditional love. We, by God, are shown unconditional love. How do we know that? He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, even though we were sinners. And we can probably, every one of us, can probably tell a story that's better than the others. Because we've been there, we are sinners. But unconditional love has washed us whiter than snow. And that's what active listening can do. No, it can't take away and give forgiveness. That is only Christ who can do that. But we can allow somebody to share that and say, it's okay, because that's who you are. God loves you for who you are. He doesn't want you to be perfect. He actually is listening right now, and he's going to take that and he can deal with it. He can sort it out. But as you share it, then let be known that you are a normal person. That we can show non-judgmental acceptance along with unconditional love. And now I've really messed things up because I've changed the order of things. But that's okay. Can I give you a couple more Bible verses? We've already read James 1:19. Remember what it said? My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Easy one. Luke 8:18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. But consider carefully how you listen. Okay? Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken away from them. When we listen, if we don't listen correctly, and we are just thinking about ourselves and how great we are and how great our experiences is, then that can actually, in a sense, be taken away if we aren't listening to what other people are saying. And Luke 8:18 in another version in the NIV says, I think it is in the NIV, says, so pay attention to how you hear. To how you hear. We need to be attending, to be respecting, to be empathizing. And we can see this in our relationship with people when we simply take the time. There are some things to be careful of, though, when you are listening to people. There are things to be careful of because there are some barriers to listening. There are things that can stop us from listening. One is haste and impatience. I've already mentioned that a little bit. I don't have the time. I've got to go. Just tell me quickly. Tell me quickly. You know? A preoccupation. You know, with other things. There's other things to be done. I'm preoccupied. I'm thinking about other things. We've got to be able to clear our mind and focus on somebody. And sometimes what that can mean is getting a different place and time. You know, there are sometimes here at church when there's a lot going on up there after church, up around here. Do you know that's often not the best place to listen? There are times when in starting to talk to people, I'll actually say, come and sit down and listen over here. I'll listen to you over here. Because then I can actually focus. I'm not preoccupied with other things that are going on around. So the place and the time can be really important as well. It is an important encouragement to listening, but it can also be a barrier. So recognize that. Another thing that can be a barrier to listening is prejudice or bias. By the way people look, by how they sound, by how they smell, by part of the story, the first part of the story, we can actually begin to be prejudiced or biased towards them. And so we stop listening. We can also jump to conclusions. We hear part of the story and we already think we know the answer. We've already sorted out. The father did it. It was the mother's fault. It was the grandparents. They didn't do enough. We work it out, but then as we spend time and take time, we can actually find out jumping to conclusions can be actually quite dangerous. We need to listen and listen for a length of time. Find out about their life. Don't jump to conclusions about what you think's going on for them. And you might say, oh, this is all counseling. No, this is life. This is just life. In just talking to everyday people down the street, we can jump to conclusions about them. We need to be careful of doing that. We can lack concentration. Our mind can be wandering because we're tired or distracted. Okay? Good listening happens when we are aware. Okay, just thinking about what I can share. What can I share that can top this? What can I give? You know, I don't know. I don't think I shared it here last week or something. I went to a pre-wedding men's do, and I went there, and there was about 13 other guys, I won't do it, but I could tell you all their names because I specifically went around and learnt all their names, and I learnt what occupation they had, and I learnt other facts about them, and I went through in my head over the time working on that. And do you know what? Not one out of those 13 asked me at any point who I was or what I did. Not one. I actually came away feeling excited because I had managed to remember their names, because in a week's time I'm actually going to be meeting them all again at the wedding, and I want to be able to say good day. I want to be able to say hi and to say, how's the plumbing business going? How's your leg going? Because you had a knee replacement. That was Craig. That was the father of the bride. His son-in-law is a plumber. You know, remembering things like that. Ron was saying, you know, go home and write it down. Put stuff on a bit of paper, because that is attentive listening. And that's listening that says, I'm not just waiting to then have my say. Most of the time, I just simply listened. I listened to what they were saying, and I actually found out so much by being there. I did come home a little bit sad because not one out of that many asked who I was or what I did or anything about me. And I thought, that is indicative of what we're facing. This is what the... And you say to me, well, that means you're the only one gifted in that way. No, I went with a purpose. I chose to go there, and I chose to say, I want to know their names. I want to find out them, because I am actually interested. I would love to see some of these guys come to the Lord. I would love to see them find out and go, who was that guy? And I actually heard one of them say at the end of the day, he said, who was that? He knew my name, and he said that as I was leaving. And there was an excitement in his voice that somebody cared about him. The problem is, when you have a lot of carers and you have a lot of people listening, we also have to have a lot of people listening to the listeners, because we all need that kind of thing as well. So I want to encourage you, listen to each other here and use that as a strengthening time to listen to people out there and build each other in that listening aspect. It is a great time. And also, one other barrier to listening is squishy spots. What are squishy spots? Squishy spots was a terminology used by Dr. Litchfield, who is the designer of the course that I did at AIFC for my counselling course, and he called them squishy spots. And I said, what's a squishy spot? A squishy spot is when somebody's talking and suddenly you realise that what they're talking about actually raises some issues and something that maybe has happened to you, and it's a squishy spot. You suddenly become... Recognize squishy spots. When you're talking with people, if something that they're saying rings home to you about something in your life, be ready and willing to go, that's a squishy spot. I'm now going to segment that off, put that up here, and I'm going to deal with that, but I'm going to keep listening. Because otherwise, a squishy spot can just suddenly go, whoop, we're blanked off. We don't listen anymore, because we're suddenly thinking about our life, about what's going on, about the event in our life. We have suddenly broken that listening barrier. Be careful of squishy spots, because they will affect us. Can I finish just with a short illustration? Story is told of Franklin Roosevelt, who often endured long receiving lines at the White House. You know how they used to have to shake hands? They always shake hands. All these people coming along. Okay. He complained that no one really paid any attention to what was said. Hi, how you doing? And they just go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And off they go. Okay. One day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who passed down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, I murdered my grandmother this morning. The guests responded with phrases like, marvelous, keep up the good work, we're proud of you, God bless you, son. It was not till the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador of Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Nonplussed, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, I'm sure she had it coming to her. Are you okay? I think I've got through everything. Have you got anything from today? I often ask this with people who come and see me. I say, is there one thing that you can take away today? Just one. One thing that you can take away today that will be a positive and an encouragement for you. I don't need that for my affirmation. I believe what I have shared is hopefully coming from some of my experience. It's coming from an encouragement in the Word. There is one thing that I did forget to share with you, and that's Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. Because we can't do this without the Spirit, and I don't want to tack this on at an end because I actually believe that that's what all about our relationship with God is all about. It is about how to develop and outwork the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and is there one that I missed? No. Is that about right? Gentleness. Gentleness. Did I get gentleness? Oh, I can't remember. I've got it in here somewhere. Now, you can tell me later. Did I miss something? I don't know. All of those are actually relational things. They're all relational, and they can all help us. If we ask the fruit of the Spirit to be our guide and to help us, we can actually love other people, and we can listen to them with the fullness of how we're meant to listen. So let's be good listeners, not only to God, but to other people, and let's have a great adventure in our relationships. Amen. Have we got our musos? Here they are. Come on down. We're going to sing a song that has actually really just been touching my heart lately. It's called the Revelation Song. I'm not really sure fully why, but it's just got some great